It seemed like a good idea. We'd done three studio albums and a live album, and then another three studio albums. Why not another live album? The problem was we had to fabricate a Kiss show for the album because we didn't want to repeat material. So now we had to create a Kiss show that didn't really exist, with the dynamics of a real show. Even so, it didn't seem like a big deal since we had a lot of great stuff.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hello, Joe.
And with us from KGFRocks.com is Mr. Chaz Stanley.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
What's up, Chaz?
Good to have you with us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if I sound tired, it's because I am. I'm still recovering from my weekend, which sucked, but we won't talk about that because I'm too depressed. There's not really any Kiss news, but I do want to ask you guys, and Jody, I don't think you saw it, but you know, Lady Gaga played at the halftime yesterday, didn't? And Chaz, you watched it, right?
Oh yeah,
I watched it like today on YouTube.
Did you think that she looked like Ace Frehley, man?
I don't know. I was sitting there watching, and I was like looking at Ace. But then, you know what? To be honest, I got a big David Bowie vibe.
Okay, maybe Bowie as well. Yeah, you know. But, you know, if you notice, like, she had, like, the shoulders. It looked like from the Alive costume, you know.
Yeah, I could see
that. And it almost looked like she was wearing football pads towards the end of it there.
Yeah, she was wearing something like that, man.
Let me ask you this. I watched that shit on YouTube today. Doesn't it seem like that should have been like 4 or 5 years ago when she was like really at the top of her game rather than like now?
Well, see, I think they missed their chance, and then they wanted to they had her come out and sing the national anthem last year.
Yeah.
And it blew so many people away that they said, all right, we got to try this again. But, you know, even on the radio today, they were talking about how this has rejuvenated her career. And it's just like, you know, here's the problem. You got people out there that put a record out every year, and they suck. And they don't have to go through what Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is a pure talent, man. She sits down at the piano. She plays. She sings. She can go from pop to singing with Tony Bennett, to singing, you know, in the Oscars, doing, I can't think of the name of the movie, man, you know. But, she, you know, that's the thing, you know. And she's acting and winning Emmys in some TV show, I can't remember what it's called, a horror story or something like that.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget, though, that she plays a mean keytar.
That's pretty fake, but, you know. But, you know, she did sit down at the piano in lives, you know, and you know, you could tell the difference. When she was dancing, she was doing, that was all lip syncing, you know. But then she walked over to a piano, sat down, and just tore it up, man. And I was just, she's impressive, though. You know, she's like I said, Elton John was there, too, but he didn't get on stage with her. I was like, man, that would have been badass.
Yeah, it was surprising. She didn't have any guests, but what I liked about it was that, like, she just brought it, and it was funny to me because I'm not a pop music guy. I know you're a big pop music guy, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm not a big pop music guy, and, like, I knew, like, every single song but one of them, so it just shows, like, on, you know, an outsider's view how big she really is. And to Jody's point about missing the boat on her about 5 years ago, they always do that. I mean, they had Coldplay last year. Right?
Yeah.
Coldplay hasn't been popular in like 10 years. Like, I don't know. Joe, you can equate this to wrestling. It's like when wrestling has Kid Rock performing at WrestleMania. Like, why?
Yeah.
You
doesn't
know?
Make any sense.
It's just they're stuck in the past always.
Yeah, they really missed the boat on that.
Yeah, they had like Prince like 15, 20 years late, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, and it was amazing then. You watch it now, he's playing Purple Rain in the rain on the Super Bowl. It was just amazing.
You know, they controlled that weather to get that rain through harp.
I damn well believe it.
Fixes in, man.
Yes, damn straight. I want to say that right now. Anyway.
I had to slip it in, dude.
Yeah, it's okay. Anyway,
that's what she said.
Right.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum.
Hogcast Rock City News.
All right, so as far as news goes, the only thing that I saw, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but a couple people posted pictures of Gene at an Ace show. Did you guys see that?
No, but that's cool.
Yeah, I have no idea. I've been out of the loop.
Let me ask you this. So is everyone, the rumor mill has begun, like Gene scouting Ace for this reunion?
There was a little bit of that.
I bet.
They were like, fingers crossed. And I'm like, why?
Because it would rule to get Ace back in the band and everything, but maybe he's just there to hang out with his old pal.
Yeah, man. Maybe family. He just did a show down the street, you know, and he went, hey, man, Ace is in town. Ace is back, and he told me so I'm going to go.
Totally.
Well, to be fair, though, I mean, this is getting, like, ridiculous. It's like every 3 months there's a new Ace rumor about joining Kiss, and they seem to get legs behind him for a reason. Gene Simmons is there. Kiss posts out a picture or something. So, you know, unless the fix is in, I'm starting to believe it.
I think people see what they want to see. You know, they believe what they want to believe, but...
That is the second fix is in comment. Okay, so there's really no damn news.
We're newsless.
I did see that that the Rockin' Brews had like special for the Super Bowl where you could order food and get it for the Super Bowl. I was like, damn, there's not. And now they're opening one in Orlando as well, and there's already one just a few miles, I guess, from Orlando. I was like, man, what about Atlanta, man?
Totally.
The guys, they hate us.
What's cool is that in the one here in St. Louis, they're running a new special where you can do a meet and greet with the chef for $200.
I should do that at my restaurant.
Totally,
that'd be sweet.
Chaz.
Yeah. Have you gone yet, Jody?
Nah.
Man. All right, we're going to have to send you.
Yeah, you're going to have to do a full report.
Yeah.
Yeah,
me and D-Rock will go KST style and record a conversation while we're like having burgers.
I think that sounds great. Eating onion rings.
Yeah.
D-Rock will be sitting there going, man, we need a pool table in this fucker.
Yeah. That dude can run he like runs the table, dude. He's like a pool shark. It's crazy.
That's amazing. I'm not surprised. I don't know why, but. All right, so let's get to our topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yes!
Well, the last time Chaz was here, where was I?
I don't remember exactly what was going on, but...
Yeah, well, the last time you guys did a more perfect... Or was it a cooler?
I think we called it a Way Cooler Alive 3.
Yeah.
A Way Cooler Alive 3.
Basically, if you didn't hear it, the premise is, you know, the formula that Kiss had going is, you know, you release 3 studio records, then a live record, then 3 more and another live record. So we said, what would happen if you did 3 more and a live record? So on our Alive 3, you had, you know, Dynasty, Unmasked, and The Elder, which was cool. But for this one, obviously, we take the next 3 to make a, what are we going to call it?
A Way Cooler Alive 4.
A Way Cooler Alive 4.
That's right.
So you got all the songs to choose from Creatures, Lick It Up, and Animalize.
Right.
My first thought was, I wonder how much it's going to be like the Animalize Live and Uncensored, because that could have been an Alive 3 at the time or something, you know?
Well, when I went into this, I was thinking, I'm like, cool, I'm excited for this. I'm a big 80s Kiss fan. Be honest, this was like actually way harder than doing the Alive 3 one. But when you know what you left out that made Alive 3 a little easier, maybe, was we did the solo albums.
Oh yeah,
as well.
That's right.
So that might have been a little easier or something, because I love 80s Kiss and this was tough for me.
Yeah, 20 was too many, man. We had to go with 16, like the original Alive.
Well, considering all three of the albums had like 9 songs.
Yeah. It's crazy, like, when it all breaks down. Well, we'll talk about it when we get there, but... So how are we going to start it? We're going to do side-by-side kind of deal?
Yeah, man, I like that idea. How about we start with our opener, you know? Okay, so...
Or what about the 1-2 punch?
The 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
That's I wrote it as a 1-2 punch, so...
I did too.
All right. I have all my songs picked out, but I gotta...
Well, what would you start the record with?
Creatures of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
I would start it with Creatures of the Night, and then War Machine.
That would be cool.
A double Creatures cut, huh?
You can blow the Creatures load right off the bat, though.
Well, you know, if you think about it, if it came out when it when it was...
Yeah, 84. Well, yeah. We're saying this would come out in, like, 84... Maybe hit the shelves early 85 or something, right?
Yeah, so that would have been, yeah. I think that would have been a good 1-2 punch. What you guys got?
Go ahead, Chaz.
All right, well, full disclosure, as I did the last time, it was hard for me to squeeze a lot of Gene songs in, so this is very Paul heavy.
I had the same problem.
I'm sure Jody has that problem too.
You know how it
okay,
is.
Okay, cool, so we're all there. So I know my opening sets is not going to be like anybody else's, but I'm going to start off, go to Animalized Cut. I'm going to go with Under the Gun.
Wow.
Just come out with some, like, you know, Paul Stanley speed metal riffs and have, I guess it would be Bruce in the band by this point, ripping some solos. I think that would sound sweet, get everyone pumped up. And then if they follow suit, they usually go into like a popular one next. So they're going to go right into Lick It Up.
Damn. Nice. Yeah. That would have made people go nuts in 84 for sure.
Right. So that's how I did that one. Under the Gun, I know that's controversial, but that's what I'm all about.
Right on.
I got it on my list, so it just comes later.
Yeah. Well, my side one, I start with Creatures because I think it's the best one you could have for the beginning. It's just such a killer way to start a show. But as soon as they get done with that, kind of the lights go down and you hear this ominous sound and they start going into Not for the Innocent, dude.
Oh, cool.
Let Gene kind of come out strong, you know, and kind of heavy. Deuce style.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yep, just mining fucking diamonds, bros.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, so what are we doing? 3 and 4. All right, so I'm going with third song, All Hell's Breaking Loose.
Cool.
I think that would be good. My problem is I think I have too many Paul songs, but there were just so many on the records.
Plus, it's not that there were so many. It was the not necessarily quality under quantity at that point.
Right.
You know, what are you going to do?
True. Plus, this is a fantasy thing. So, I mean, it's not like he had to actually perform this set live. They could have probably recorded it in the studio and add all the other shit, you know?
Yeah, true.
I
think my number 4 song would be Burn Bitch Burn.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
I've only heard one recording of that live. And it sounds pretty rough, even though it is on my list, too, at some point. But in this perfect world, all these songs can be done perfectly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this would be...
They were pretty, you know, they were a group of killers there in the 80s, but Gene maybe not so much. So that might make it a little rough.
I don't know. I like what I like how he was live in the 80s. Maybe not so much in Asylum, but I think on that Animalized Live and Uncensored, he sounds killer.
He's got a great wig, too.
Yeah. But I think that look is way cooler than Asylum or Lick It Up. The Animalized look, it's all black leather, you know?
Yep.
It's cool.
I agree completely. Like, that Asylum tour, whew, we won't talk about that.
Needs to be more video of that shit. I want it. All right, who's next? 3 and 4. All right.
I guess that's me. So we had 2 Pauls to start off for me, so I'm going to give Gene his bread, and I'm going to keep the hits coming, and I'm going to do I Love It Loud right after Lick It Up.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice. That's early, too.
Yeah,
it is. Back-to-back hits, keep people engaged, keep them singing, and then we're going to let Paul get all emotional and take over the show, and they're going to do, to end the first side of the album, going to end it on a real emotional note with A Million to One.
Nice.
Ooh.
That's
do
what,
I
that's
have that one on my? Do I have that one on my list?
You should. It's one of the best.
I don't.
Wow.
A Million to One is the most underrated Kiss song, I think. That should have been the single off of Lick It Up. And it totally blew my mind on the Paul Stanley Live to Win or One Live Kiss DVD, how awesome it was even then.
It's always been one of my favorites, too. People think of it as a ballad. I don't really hear it as a ballad, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like a harder emotional song, I say. It's not like Beth. You can't call it a ballad.
This one, that was also about, what, Donna Dixon, Joe?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. She was off with, what's his name, Dr. Detroit.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd.
I just still can't fathom why a chick would pick him over Paul.
Comedy, man. Funniness.
Yeah. Chicks like to laugh.
Yeah, and Paul's not telling us something.
Yeah.
maybe Dr. Detroit's got a 10-pound cock.
I was going to say it's either that or a big pile of cocaine.
Yeah, okay.
Back in those days, those chicks would just fall for one of those two or a lot of money, you know.
Insane. Those you are never the big know. Three.
Got those, you have any chick you want.
Yep. Yep. I don't know how I ever got a woman. I don't have any of that shit.
Thank you for telling everybody you don't have a, as you say, 10-pound cock.
No. It's,
back problems and shit.
It's 2 kilos.
2 kilos.
Six grams. All right.
Oh, boy.
Okay, side two.
Oh, wait, I got to do my side.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
That's cool. So for those listening, we are doing this much later than usual, and Joe just woke up, so we're having a good time tonight.
I did just wake up. It's funny.
Yeah, it's great. All right, so mine, they came out of Creatures Not for the Innocent, and then they go into Get All You Can Take, which I think is a really strong song that's kind of underrated. And then just kind of like Animalize Live and Uncensored, they bust up early into Fits Like a Glove.
Nice.
And who sings it?
It's going to be Gene.
It's going to be Gene, okay.
Yeah. I do have something that Eric's going to do later, but yeah, Gene's going to still do Fits Like a Glove. I've always loved that one. I think it rocks live, especially on the Animalize Live and Uncensored. So I'd definitely go with that one.
That's the best it sounds on the Uncensored one. It's better than the studio.
Yeah, it has a little more tempo, you know, a little more rock. And Gene does this gnarly, like, double bass slide. Vroom, vroom. It's really cool.
Eric Carmos had one of those 10-pound things of cocaine in the back for that album.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
So I think that would be a strong way to take out that side, you know.
Yeah. All right, let's see. I'm at side two.
Remember, Joe, you got to get up, you got to get off your ass, you got to walk to the record player and flip it over.
Yes. Yeah. So, I got to make it worth it.
Gonna start strong.
All right, I'm gonna start strong. Heaven's on Fire.
Boom.
And then I'm gonna do On the Eighth Day.
Cool.
I like that song.
I do too.
I think those two back to back pretty good, pretty well. Sorry, I don't mean to say the proper grammar, but it's fucking late.
What do you got on three and four then?
Number three would be Thrills in the Night.
I like it. Yours is a lot like the actual Animalize set.
I didn't do that on purpose, cool, just so you know. And then the last song, I would say Under the Gun.
Nice.
That's a hardcore set right there. They're going to be tired after that.
Yeah, too bad for them.
Bruce's hand is going to, you know, fall off after that.
Let me ask you this, though. They may get some breaks because, you know, Paul in these days had to do some type of filthy rap of some sort.
Yes. Right?
Well, would you put those on your album, though? That's the question.
Would? Oh, yeah. Kidding me? Yeah.
Especially in that time, they totally would have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. I mean, Alive 3 came out later, and it still had all that, you know, Paul Stanley like saying,
a damn Christmas tree.
Yeah, I just, Paul said, it's a magic word, and that word is fuck. Whoops. You know? Yeah.
Whoops. So which, like, rap would you have him do? Like, would you do that whole Love Gun in the doctor's office?
Yeah, I mean, that's good.
How many people really like to party? Well, I want to tell you something. A couple of days ago, I've been partying myself, so I thought it was time to go to the doctor to get myself checked out. You know what I'm talking about? Now I go walking into the doctor's office. I go walking in. I got my appointment for 10:30. I go walking in. It's about 10:15. You understand? I go walking in, and the doctor's not there yet, but I walk in. I see a nurse with the biggest tits I've seen in a long time. Now this girl's trying to be real cool, so I sit down and I start reading my magazine. Now she goes walking by me, she's trying to make believe that I'm not really there. She goes by me like this. On real quick, so I say, excuse me. I say, excuse me, nurse, could you come over here for me? She comes walking over to me. I said, bend down here. I got something to tell you. She bends down. I grab a hold of her real quick. All of a sudden, she starts to catch on. She says to me, why don't we start this examination just a little bit early? I said, all right, she says to me, Paul, why don't you take off your shirt? Then she says to me, why don't you take off your pants? Now I look at this girl, I say, honey, I'm feeling just a little bit shy. So she looks at me, I'm wearing my Levi's, my 501s, you know, those real tight ones. So she walks over, she bends down, and she undoes that little snap at the top. Then she reaches down just a little bit, she undoes the next one, she goes, next one. She opens up my pants. She checks her hand out to make sure it's not too cold, and she sticks it down the front. And she pulls out. And she says to me, Paul, what are you doing with that pistol down your pants? I said to her, honey, that ain't no pistol.
I mean, really, Alive 3 is the animalized show, you know? At least to me, you know?
Yeah, totally.
It's damn near perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm. Have you heard the, like, version without the overdubs?
Uh-uh. I've heard the version with the radio that came out on the radio, I guess.
That's it. So, yeah. So it's just live, feed.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty, almost the same, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were firing on all cylinders there. They couldn't have been too terrible. There couldn't have been too much overdubbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had, remember, they called him Spruce Kulick at the time because he looked like a tree on stage.
When he was on the show, he said that, like, when they actually told him he got the gig was, like, right before they filmed that, so.
That's insane.
Yeah, when you think about watching it all those many times, and it's like Bruce just got told he's in the band, and now they're filming in Detroit and shit. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys had Bruce Kulick on the show the week after you had me on the show.
Oh, really?
He probably heard the episode with you and was like, man, I got to get on that show.
Yeah. That must have been it. He must be a fan.
Yeah, so thanks, bro.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I just remember like looking at the next feed. I was like, what? Why couldn't I be on this show too?
Yeah, we wound up doing it in like the middle of the day. It was crazy.
That was kind of weird, a weird time for us to be doing it, but it worked out pretty well. So where are we at? Where are we at?
We're at 1, 2, 3, and 4 for side 2.
All right, that's me then, I guess. All right, so we flipped the record, and I'm going to, you know, start off with something hard again. This is going to be a controversial one. I'm wondering if you guys have it on your list. We're going to start off with Danger.
No.
I do not have it, but I could see them doing it.
Yeah, like, that's just a cool tune. It's hard. It's ready to go. And then I'm going to give Gene another cut. It's hard to find the Gene song, so I'm going to go with While the City Sleeps.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
It's just in there, and then we're gonna get Paul back for the next two with probably my favorite song on Animalize. It's Thrills in the Night.
Cool.
And then I think that's where Joe said he had it too. And then I'm gonna end the first set, the first album. I mean, with the epic "I Still Love You."
I knew that was coming somewhere.
Yeah, it's gotta be somewhere. Yeah.
Hell yeah! See, these would be killer records, man. There's no reason that Kiss should have like deviated off the freaking path. They should have just kept doing it, because I'd love to have these documents, you know what I'm saying, with Eric and Bruce.
Yeah,
we don't have anything with Eric live, really, except the Animalize thing and whatever bootlegs and shit, right?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, no official album.
Yeah, I just bought a vinyl recently. It's a bootleg of, I think it's a 1989 radio broadcast. It's called The Ritz Is on Fire.
Oh, I have it.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's pretty cool, though, yeah.
Is it a double record?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah, I have it, yeah. Let me ask you this. Was there, I'm trying to make sure that that's the one that I got, though. In the middle, have you listened to the whole thing?
Yeah, like a couple months ago, though. What's the question?
Was there a spot where, like, a radio DJ starts talking?
Oh, there might be, actually. That does sound familiar.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one I got. Yeah, my girlfriend's parents got it for me for Christmas, which proves why they are amazing.
That's awesome.
All right, Jody, what you got?
All right, so you flipped the record over for me, and I figured they'd want to come back with something kind of a hit, you know? So they bust straight into Lick It Up, right? Without all the shit that they do these days, just like they did it back on the Animalize Live and Uncensored. Just like that would be fine with me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they would go kind of a little heavier and throw maybe a little bit deeper than you would think, but they would bust into Exciter, dude.
Whoa! Nice.
A ripper for Paul. And then they got to give Paul a bit of a break, so they bust into Burn, Bitch, Burn.
There it is.
And all of us Gene freaks can kind of have a giggle at his lyrics. And then they kind of go into A Million to One, so Paul can kind of bring the, after Burn, Bitch, Burn, you want to kind of bring the people back to something a little more heartfelt, you know what I mean? So that's why I picked A Million to One there. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I like that.
Not so bad so far.
So they need us.
Yeah
They needed us like 20 years ago, I guess.
Yeah, put a record together.
That's about 30 years ago now, buddy.
Yeah, let's not do that to ourselves. You
old Chaz.
Let me tell you, I'm sitting here listening to Chaz talk, and I never noticed how much he sounds like Kevin Owens, and I bet everybody tells him that. Anybody tell you?
I've heard it before. They say sometimes, it's funny, I look like Kevin Owens sometimes because I'm
sat
here and got a beard, but a lot of people tell me I sound like Seth Rogen.
I could hear that too, yeah, a little bit.
I hear KO. So KO's a wrestler. So
it's funny. I sound like
Jody knows who it is.
I have no idea. I was getting ready to ask you guys, who the hell's Kevin Owens?
Kevin Owens.
Well, he's Canadian. I'm close to Canada. Maybe it's a little accent you're picking up.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
I thought about it immediately. All right, let's see.
Do you have Side a gatefold? Three. We haven't talked about the art. I didn't really think in those terms, though. Did you?
I mean, if I had to think of a gatefold, it would have to have. I mean, they show the tour that they're on. They show, you know, so it would have to be the Animalize, you know,
yeah,
you know, that's what they show when they show the gatefold or the cover, you know. But maybe what they could do is kind of split it in three, you know, and make the make one side the tank because they used it for the first, you know, two tours, and then, you know, throw the animalized thing on the other side. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I would like? I would like if they played off of the back cover of Animalized, how they're like by the magma and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Make the scene look like that somehow.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah, and we'll never get it. Anyway, somebody make that and send it to us at PodcastRockCity1.
That's the number
one. The number one.
Thank you. At gmail.com.
Should have looked it up in like German or something.
Yeah.
You speak any languages, Chaz?
Uno. Uno.
Besides English and Canadian.
Canadian, English and Canadian, yeah. But that's the number one A.
I love Canadians. They're amazing.
Me too, man.
All right, I'm going to tell you how I'm starting side one on record two. It's a little shocking, but this is the spot where I decided to bring it down with "I Still Love You."
That's interesting because it's not a barn burner, but it's like such a good song and it could go anywhere.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in the 80s, it was kind of hip to have your like power ballad.
And didn't they start Alive 2 off one of the sides with "Hard Luck Woman"? Or no?
I don't know. I can't think of it off the top of
my head. I don't think so.
No,
I don't think
so. I could be wrong.
And the crowd goes crazy, and they're like, "Yeah, we wanted to hear 'Hard Luck Woman.'"
They definitely mark out on that particular track, don't they?
Yeah, with this. Yeah,
on Alive 2, anyway.
Because the guy raised the feeder or the fader with the crowd noise.
Somebody got a first down and fucking. Some NFL like audiences and shit.
I'm really getting tired of these NFL things, man. We gotta
steer clear of the whole like.
It's like, good lord, I feel like I'm being picked on right now.
Nah, no, man.
I'm kidding.
No. All right, so what are you gonna do on side three then?
Okay, wait. So I started with "I Still Love You."
Yeah.
Then we're gonna have "Rock and Roll Hell."
I can see it.
Then we get "Young and Wasted."
Right on, right on.
I love that song. And to end side three, "Get All You Could Take."
Boom.
And he swears in that song. That's risque for the 80s.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you guys this because I'm really curious about this. Even though we have four songs to go, right? One side. They're still ending with "Rock and Roll All Night" or no?
I didn't use it.
Okay. No, I don't have it on my list, but my question is
at the actual show they did. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you know, just like Alive 2 doesn't have it. Alive,
right? I mean, you could probably insert, you know, famous Kiss song in each set. "Love Gun" here, "Rock and Roll All Night" here, you know.
Yeah,
right.
"Bang Bang" all you right there.
Yes, yes, yes.
It wasn't right even written yet.
I know, but it was later.
It's the first one that came to mind.
All right, who's next?
All right, me. Jazz is me. Next. So record two, okay. I'm keeping up with the aggression. This is more of a slower aggression. We're going to open up with "War Machine."
Nice.
I think that's good. Let Gene start off with the set because I don't throw many bones in this. And then we're going to go right into "Creatures of the Night."
Nice. Yeah, that's a nice 1-2 punch as well.
Oh, yeah. And then all the punches keep coming because the fire is going to keep burning. And we're going to go with... Oh, that wasn't even a pun, but it's kind of punny. Here we go. We're going to go with "I've Had Enough" into the fire.
Boom.
Nice.
So they're all going to go crazy, and then we're just going to continue the crazy set list and end with Eric Carr singing "Young and Wasted."
Boom.
Nice.
I have a lot of the same ones in my side three, which is cool.
Oh, nice.
Mine goes like this. It goes "War Machine," "Young and Wasted" with Eric Carr singing. Then they kind of need to bring it down. Paul brings it down with "I Still Love You." And then "I Love It Loud." Gene brings it back. And I think that live they would do the bass solo that kind of like this, like ding, ding, ding. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's really cool. Yeah.
Back when Gene was like, "Look at me, I could play,"
but he really can. And even if you watch that solo on that show, he's ripping it. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The solos on that show are good. Even Paul's playing guitar pretty well on that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, he's just, you know, I mean, it's like he even like kind of downplays his solo, you know, when the crowd's going crazy and he's just like waving them off like, you know, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid and figured out that how I could do the same shit. Like I figured out that solo and I thought I was so cool.
Jody, you were cool, man.
I was to all my friends. I can tell you that much.
You still are cool.
They were like, "Holy shit, dude!" I'm like, yep.
You're like, yeah. Playing Van Halen tap lines is nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like three notes. It was like,
yeah. That's funny. I think,
but we all thought it was so cool, you know.
I think we all figured it out on guitar. Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing to it, but when you're like, you know, 10, it seems super cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed pretty cool when I learned it when I was 21, too.
That's funny.
Still is. If something was ever cool, then it remains forever cool, right?
Yeah, like that's the Fonz.
Agreed. I agree.
I agree. The Fonz is cool. Yeah! All right, so we're going to finish this out. Man, I got four songs here, and coming up with an ender is tough.
I got the perfect one, but you'll have to wait and see.
All right, so I'm going to start with Fits Like a Glove.
Nice.
I do love that one. To open
side four. Then we're going to have I've Had Enough Into the Fire, number two.
Nice.
I love that song, by the way.
I do too, man. I even considered using it as the opener for the whole show.
Yeah, me too, actually. And I was just I want that for later. How about I Love It Loud, number three?
Nice.
And to close the show, Lick It Up.
Yeah, that's something they would do, you know, close out with a big hit.
Yep. That's my Kiss Alive four.
That sounds like a good ending to me.
Yep, thank you.
So too.
All right, my side four, end of the show. You know, I like to start off the sets with some, you know, some excitement. So we're going to start it off with Exciter.
Nice.
And then here's a controversial pick, I would believe. The next song is going to be Gimme More.
Huh.
I could dig it.
LaPaul really shred his vocals on that one.
Yeah.
He gets really up there. And then here's some more controversy, the last two. The third last song is going to be Heaven's on Fire.
Oh.
I could see it all day.
Which would be the closer, but then they'll come back and give the true fans an encore, and then they're going to end with Fits Like a Glove.
Boom. I could see that too, man.
I love that riff. I talk about it all the time.
It's a great riff.
Yeah.
See, I like that. I like that. For mine, I figured, man, it's side four. I got to go out strong, dude. So it starts off with I've Had Enough, right?
Right.
They bust straight into Killer so Gene can get heavy one last time, you know?
Oh, I should have picked that song. I think
that would rip, especially with Bruce playing it, you know? But for the three and the four, I figured, well, just like Alive, they kind of bust their nut. The big song is Rock and Roll All Night. It's in the third slot, right? So I put Heaven's on Fire there, right? Mm-hmm. And so then they go off stage. Everybody, you know, chants Kiss until they come back. And I'm thinking, man, what are they going to do? But I figured they could bust into On the Eighth Day, the, like, unsung Kiss anthem that in this world is the big anthem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So they come out with that, and everyone's kind of leaves there, like, all pumped up on rock and roll, you know, just like Let Me Go Rock and Roll from Alive.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
That's pretty awesome.
Same idea I had. You just, like, thought more of the anthem, and that makes a lot more sense, like something they would have done.
We were on the same wavelength, though, for sure, bro.
You know what? Looking at this, like, I was thinking, like, even though it gets shit on, like, Animalize is a pretty good album.
Yeah.
I wish it was redone. We were saying that last time about En Masse and everything, but I wish it was redone a little bit because, like, it's a really good album. Look how many songs we had on there from it. And it's always talked about as one of the worst ones, you know, some people say, and I don't agree.
I don't agree with that either. I think it's one of the great ones, but, you know, I got into that. That was the first album I had when it was brand new. What's crazy is I have like 7 songs from Lick It Up, dude.
I know. Yeah. I always tell people that Lick It Up was like my least favorite album, but it still might be one of my least favorites, but I don't think it's my least anymore. But least doesn't mean I don't like it either.
Right. I think it has a lot of really strong songs, though, man. And Vinny had a lot to do with that, I guess. But, man, a lot of those Lick It Up tunes are still strong, I think.
Well, do we think that Animalize would have been received different or liked more if Vinny was still with them? Maybe it wouldn't have been as, you know, all over the place solo-wise. Or it could have been worse. You never know.
I don't know, man. It's like... I definitely like the songs that he wrote with Kiss. All of his co-writes are pretty good, you know? But if it sounded like The Invasion or something, I don't think Kiss would ever let it go that far. But if they did, it would have been a bad move. But I definitely think that he would have been cooler than Mark St. John on Animalize.
Yeah,
because Mark St. John's playing just doesn't have the feel. I'm not going to say it's terrible. Like, he's got some great parts, and he does really well in Thrills of the Night, but a lot of it just literally seems like, you know, the rumors are that nobody was around and him and Eric were just in the studio. A lot of it just seemed like, all right, I'm gonna rip this scale here and go to the bar, and that's all it seems like on some of them.
I mean just a bunch of, what does Gene always call it, the freaking bumblebee shit.
Yeah,
for me it's about melody and punch, and I'd rather hit a simple A chord that it cracks your ribs than a million notes that just sound like an angry bee. You just want to kill that thing. Shut up.
If you look at that album, though, the ones that Bruce did sound good and sound like Kiss. Yeah. So I think they probably heard that back and were like, man, we need to go with this dude.
Now, was Mark or Bruce on the song Thrills in the Night? Because I always assumed that was Mark, and I thought that was his best guitar work.
I think it's Mark. I could be wrong. I think Bruce is on, like, Lonely as a Hunter and maybe, what's the other one? I think maybe Murder in High Heels or something. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Okay, well, because then that still holds suit. That would be Mark's best work, I thought, was Thrills in the Night. He's you know, takes it back a little bit. You know, he plays with some emotion. He just doesn't rip as many notes as he can.
True. Oh, yeah. He has his moments, but just as in general, I don't think he was a good fit for the band.
No, we'll never know, really.
Well, I mean, you know, like Bruce came up and had the same influences as Kiss, you know, whereas it seemed like Mark St. John, I don't know this to be true for sure, but it seemed like his influences are like Eddie Van Halen, Randy Rhodes, you know, that school.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, really, but to be... He wouldn't tell you that. Well, he wouldn't tell you anything now, too soon. But I was reading an interview or something, listening to an interview with him, and he, you know, he was throwing out all this shit that he didn't even know who Kiss was when he joined them, and he didn't like all this new rock guitar players. He listened to a lot of jazz music and horns, and he just sounded like a big pretentious asshole. Like, I'm pretty sure you're a guitar player in LA in the rock scene. You've heard of Kiss before.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You ever wonder, here's my question, you ever wonder why they settle for these guys, you know? It's like, you know, they get into the studio with him and they go, okay, that was a good solo, play it again. He goes, I can't play it again. At that point, I look at the guy and I go, see ya.
Yeah.
Why?
What's he going to do live, you know?
Yeah, it's like Vernon Reid, you know? I like Vernon Reid's, you know, playing, but it sounds so spastic, you know, when he's playing.
I don't like it at all.
You know, it's just like...
I like his, like, rhythms. He has cool riffs and
shit.
Yeah,
but...
solos suck.
But, you know, he never plays the same thing twice. And I'm like, I can't fall in love with a solo, man. It's like, what would Ace Frehley have been like? You could sing his solos, you know. The record comes on, and you know what you're gonna, you know what, how it's gonna sound, you know, when his solo comes.
Totally.
But these other guys, you know, why, you know, when they talk about Vinnie Vincent was the guitar player by default. Fuck, why? You know, I don't understand. I don't get that. You know, you're on a...
I think they were just so lost, dude, that they were looking for someone else that might have a different take. Because, I mean, he really did help them write all the songs. And it did kind of put them back on the map.
Yeah. They kept talking about how, you know, Strange he was and everything. It's like, and it's just like, I would have been like, I don't want Strange, man. I want somebody...
They were so used to Strange with Ace and Peter, right?
That's mostly what they got used to. But I think the bigger mystery is Mark St. John. I mean, you said it, Jody. I mean, Vinny was a songwriter. You know, he had something behind him. Mark St. John had nothing. And to be honest, the stuff that I've read, they weren't even around for him. So it's like, they're like, here you go, kid. Here's a studio. Go have fun. Like, anyone that's listening out there that you guys should take the time and the money out of your own pocket and, like, do a documentary about Mark St. John and Kiss and why it failed and why terrible it was, because it's such an odd thing for them to do. I mean, the guy didn't even make it past, what, 3 shows? How checked out was everybody? You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. You know,
according to Paul's thing, he says that Mark never played a show with them, but we know that's not true.
Right.
There's recordings.
I think they were just looking for that next shredder, dude. So they called up, what was it, Grover Jackson recommended him? You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
yeah.
Put this shredder in the studio, have him do some metal shreds on our, you know, 1984 metal record. They were so trying to be removed from what they'd done in the past. You know, they weren't thinking like, we want some leads you can sing. They wanted some shredder dude, you know?
I mean, and that was the time for it.
Yeah. Even Bruce said that when Paul called him up to, you know, be on Animalize, his first question was, do you have a Floyd Rose? I'm serious. That's what Bruce told us. So, I mean, that's what they were looking for. They were looking for something new, you know, to finally come into the 80s in 1984. If you know.
Yeah, that's weird.
But,
It was strange that
they just would settle on someone. They're fucking Kiss, you know? Let's just
hold
up for a minute and find the right fit. Have Bob grow his hair, whatever, you know?
It's okay for Gene to wear a wig, but not Bob? Like, I don't understand. Right. But you know what it could be, too, honestly, is the egos between Gene and Paul after all that stuff with Ace and the solo albums and blah, blah, blah. Right. So they get past there. And it's kind of like when you work at a job, say I'm a chef here, or I'm not the chef, but say I'm a manager of a restaurant. And then there's a younger guy who's just as good as me. I don't want him to take my job. So I get rid of him and hire somebody that it's crappy that I know isn't going to take my job. You know what I mean? Like, that could have a big part to do with it too. You know, like, I don't know. It just seems weird and out of place.
Maybe more to it was that Gene was so not involved that Paul just had to, you know.
He's just scrambling to, like, keep afloat.
Yeah, and he was like, well, this guy will do for right now until his arm blows up. And
it's crazy, though, because if you look at the time frame of it all, you know, Kiss had already kind of sunk. They take the makeup off at this time when, like hard rock music is, like, you know, the shit, everyone, that's mainstream at this point.
And right.
So he knew that if he didn't do it now, there's no better chance for Kiss ever in history, really, for the kind of music that they play, as far as it being mainstream, right?
Right.
Because, like, by, what, 83, Quiet Riot opened that door, and that was the shit that was on MTV and on the radio, and all the kids knew it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if they didn't take this chance now, they were never going to get it. So I'm sure he was ready to settle on anything. You know, he's like, fuck it, it's the song that matters, not a guitar solo.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true, especially with the that it was glam out there, and like a lot of the singers, the front men were flamboyant, just like Paul. He saw his window, and you probably hit the nail on the head right there when you said it. Fuck it, the guitar solo doesn't matter, it's the song.
Yeah.
You know, he probably just stuck his finger in the musician handbook and said, this guy, let's get him. Let's go.
Yeah. And then maybe if the stories are true, maybe they've said, fine, it sounds whatever, unanalyze it. We can live with that. But then they saw the weird shit he would do live, right? Because he was like trying to upstage Paul and Gene doing fucking jumping jacks and flips and shit. Fucking Daily Roth, like full blown kung fu.
I wish there was video somewhere of that shit.
I do too, man. I would love to see it. Even if you just watch that crazy, like the Heavens on Fire video, I'd love to see him just like dancing around like that for a whole show. You know, with his weird, yeah, like position where he holds his hand and his big inflatable fucking hand and all that.
He's got all four fingers spread out as far as he could possibly spread them.
Right.
In a chord that he's not playing in the song.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Yep.
Exactly. Says it all, right?
It's just like, look at me. My hand does so much.
Right.
Wait, listen to Detroit Rock City?
Yeah, what was that? I
sounded like the car.
There's always all these assholes just like blowing this stop sign by my house, just raining on through in the middle of the night, dude. It's like, whatever.
What's more amazing is that Jody's in St. Louis right now in January, or no, it's February, with his windows open.
Yeah, dude, it feels great outside right now. After all this, like, really cold, I'm wearing shorts right now, believe it or not.
Damn.
Windows aren't open, but the front door is.
Crazy.
Yeah, feels great. Shocking. Usually by now I'm like, it's, you know, snow and all that shit at this time of year.
Yeah, we had a real warm day in Buffalo today, actually. It was up to like 33 today, and that's like a heat wave.
Nice.
Holy shit. Yeah,
what's crazy is like we've had a lot of days that it's like, you know, 7-8 degrees. And then when it does get up to like 30, I see people at the store. They're all wearing shorts and tank tops and shit. It's so crazy.
That's intense.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, that's why living in Georgia is so back-assward.
Yeah.
Look, I'll tell you what it's like to live. All our listeners out there, this is what it's like. If you don't live in Atlanta, and a lot of you do, but our high temperature goes 66, 73, 51. But 73 to 51 in 2 days. The low temperature goes 48 to 29. It's just like, no wonder everybody's sick all the damn time.
It's Georgia, up and down shit, right?
Georgia screws with everybody. Anyway.
Hi, this is Courtney Cronin-Dole, and you're listening to Podcast Rock City.
All right, so that was our Kiss Alive 4.
A Cooler Alive 4.
Cooler Alive 4. If you want to send us yours, you got to play by the rules, right? Three records are Creatures, Lick It Up, Animalized. You pick 16 songs, put them in order, send them to us, and we'll read them on the air, as many as we get. I'll read them on the air. I did get some mail. I got to go back and look. Let's see. I got my phone, my trusty phone out. Anyway, everybody knows, go to kgfrocks.com. 8:30 at night, Jody and I have Podcast Rock City Live, where we get Kiss talk and Kiss tunes, and we get to play real Kiss music and Kiss-related music. So that's pretty awesome. I decided that Jody and I are going to do a show in a few weeks that there's going to be Kiss music, but it's also going to be Kiss. It's mostly going to be bands influenced by Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that would be a fun show.
So that could be just about anybody.
A lot of people. It would be fun. A little
anyone
different.
Anyone who plays live.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Clint Wells sent us a letter.
Oh, Clint Wells. Have you checked out his Metallica podcast?
I listened to it, yes.
It's pretty good, man.
It is.
Killer production, too, man.
Yeah, I want to point out that he says, I do not get why Jody doesn't dig Hooligan.
I'm not saying I didn't dig it, bro. I'm just saying of those tracks, it was the weakest, that's all.
He said, it might be my favorite song from Love Gun.
Wow.
Those are big words.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could get it. I mean, it does have some killer vocals. I wasn't saying I didn't dig it, though, but we were trying to say what was the weakest on the album, and to me,
yeah,
it was. But yeah, the weakest song on a killer album is still better than a shitty song, you know?
Yeah. Good point.
Or a great song on a bad record, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all right. Well, that does it for this week. Thank you guys for listening. I want to thank Chaz for coming on. Chaz, tell them when they can hear you.
Hey, you can, I don't even know, I'm not much on the radio anymore, but tune in to KGFRocks.com, check out all the other DJs, and especially you guys on Wednesday night.
Absolutely. Right on. Well, thank you very much. Joe, do you got anything to add at the end of the show?
I would add, thanks for listening, everybody. You know.
I don't even have to ask Jody Moore. He could just clip it out of a different show and insert it.
I thought about doing that.
Absolutely. Chaz, in Buffalo, what's the name of the restaurant? Is it your restaurant or where you work?
I am the executive chef. I'm not a partner, but I might as well be. I do the whole menu and all that stuff. So it is called Stack Burger. And it's a gourmet burger place. It's takeout only, but we're working on our own restaurant. But some of the accolades we had over the summer, we were in the Taste of Buffalo, first year ever, and we won the best overall item award.
So. Nice.
Damn it. Now I want a burger. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Never too late to live out those dreams, my friend.
No, it's not. I gotta kill a cow first because I don't have any beef.
Where's the beef?
Yeah, damn straight. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Man, you guys are making all our dreams come true as far as putting a show together and getting people to listen. It's pretty epic. And if you don't know already, we love KISS podcasts. And, we listen to all kinds of podcasts. But you can hear all the commercials for the shows that we listen to after this in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Yes.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. KISS! It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Yes! You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah.
Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed-up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album?
KISS podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
All right, KISS Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the KISS Room, brings you KISS talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great KISS fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast, and if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Sitting around with time to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan, with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood.
Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.